Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Today is Thursday, February 6th. What to know today about the final vote ending the impeachment trial, including something unexpected, a winter storm impacting much of the U.S., and NASA's latest milestone, plus the vape ban going into effect today. Will there be a foldable iPhone? And Spotify's big purchase. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Not guilty. The Senate voted yesterday to clear President Trump of both impeachment charges, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. So the third presidential impeachment trial in U.S. history is now officially over. To be clear, President Trump has already been impeached. That was a done deal a while ago. But this week's decision means he will not be removed from office. NBC News reports the decision went almost entirely down party lines. Every single Democrat voted to convict Trump on both charges, while Republicans voted for his acquittal. Well, all but one. Republican Senator Mitt Romney of Utah broke ranks with his party. He voted to convict Trump for abuse of power. The Hill reports he said the president violated public trust when he asked Ukraine to investigate his political rivals while withholding $400 million in aid. Romney said he was sure Trump did that to sway the outcome of this year's election, so he had to vote with his conscience. Even though Romney sided with Democrats, it didn't change anything. Republicans still had enough votes for it to go their way. Some said he did nothing wrong. Others said it wasn't an impeachable offense. Meanwhile, the White House is declaring victory, saying this is a, quote, full vindication and exoneration. And we'll hear more about it directly from President Trump today. Fox News says he'll be giving a formal statement on his acquittal at noon. As for the Democrats, they're mad. One lawmaker called the president toxic and said he had infected the Senate. And while the historic impeachment trial is over, the New York Times reports House Democrats might start investigating him again. They hinted they could still subpoena Trump's former national security advisor, John Bolton. And remember, there are still a number of other investigations and lawsuits going on that involve President Trump, including the fight to see Trump's tax returns. The U.S. Supreme Court is set to hear arguments in March. All right, now to a quick update on the Iowa caucuses. As of early this morning, there are nearly all of the results in, and it looks like there's nearly a tie now between Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders. The AP reports, with 97% of precincts reporting, Buttigieg still has a slight lead, but the latest batch of results narrowed the gap between Buttigieg and Sanders, giving both of them a boost. Remember, Iowa was the first state to begin choosing which Democrat they want to take on President Trump in November. The almost complete results also show Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, and Amy Klobuchar rounding out the top five. Still, the AP says the race is too early to call. We should have had all the results by now, but there were major delays due to technical issues. In fact, we'll be talking about why there were delays, as well as the good and bad of a caucus versus a primary, and what to watch for as more states have a say in this election. All of that is coming up in today's Thing to Know Thursday interview after the news. More Americans will be evacuated from China today as the coronavirus keeps spreading throughout the country. The State Department says it's going to send 1 to 2 more flights to get people out. And that's on top of the 350 others who were evacuated yesterday. CNN reports those newest evacuees were flown to 2 separate U.S. military bases in California, where everyone will stay quarantined for 2 weeks. And speaking of a quarantine, nearly 4,000 people are stuck on a cruise ship near Japan. The Washington Post reports they're confined to their rooms because 20 people on the ship have tested positive for the coronavirus. And sadly, the death toll keeps climbing around the world. It's now getting close to 600, while more than 28,000 others have gotten sick. But the U.S. still seems to be avoiding the outbreak for the most part. It's only seen about a dozen cases so far, and no Americans have died. Chinese officials just announced they'll cut tariffs in half on hundreds of U.S. goods worth about $75 billion. They're cutting tariffs, or an extra tax, on U.S. imports that were first put in place during the U.S.-China trade war. Now, this move is part of the recent Phase 1 deal to try to ease tensions. Still, the Wall Street Journal reports there are new doubts about China's ability to follow through on all of its new promises in that deal, since the coronavirus has slowed its economy way down. In the U.S., though, it seems concerns about the coronavirus and its impact on the global economy are lessening now. The stock market bounced back, the S&P 500 and NASDAQ closed at record highs yesterday, while the Dow came close. Business Insider reports a strong jobs report had investors feeling extra optimistic. A powerful winter storm is still making its way across the U.S. It already dropped more than a foot of snow in some parts of Texas, and the Weather Channel says some areas even experienced thunder snow, an unusual thunderstorm that produces snow instead of rain. The storm has already been impacting parts of the Midwest as well, and that's expected to continue today. It'll then head toward the Northeast tomorrow. Severe weather is also expected in parts of the South. Winter storm warnings, watches, and advisories are in effect from New Mexico to northern New England. NASA astronaut Christina Cook is coming home today after spending almost a year in space. Cook has been on the International Space Station for 328 days, setting the record for the longest continuous spaceflight by a woman. During her time in space, she was part of the first all-female spacewalk and also helped with several science experiments. The Verge says NASA was keeping a close eye on Cook during her mission to see how her body handled so much time in space. They hope it provides clues for how astronauts may be affected during a long trip to Mars. Cook and three other astronauts should be back on Earth early this morning. If you're up, you can watch it all live on NASA's website. All right, we have more news ahead, but first, let's take a quick break for our sponsor today, Magic Spoon. If you're like me, you loved cereal as a kid, but as you grew up, you realized it's full of sugar and basically you just shouldn't eat it. So I stopped. Well, Magic Spoon is a new cereal company that's discovered a way to recreate your favorite childhood cereals, but with zero sugar, 12 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs each serving. And yes, it really tastes great. There are 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry, plus a variety pack where you can try them all. Fruity is probably my favorite, but it's almost a tie with frosted and blueberry. So if you want to try it out, go to magicspoon.com/newsworthy to grab a variety pack and try it. And be sure to use the promo code newsworthy at checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will actually refund your money, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/newsworthy and then use the code newsworthy for free shipping. All right, now back to the news. Starting today, you won't be able to buy some flavored e-cigarette products in the U.S. The federal ban on some flavors goes into effect. It bans the sale of fruit, dessert, and mint-flavored pods, like the ones made popular by Juul. Menthol and tobacco flavors are still allowed. This is supposed to help cut down on teen vaping, which experts say is an epidemic. But critics say it doesn't go far enough, and this won't solve the problem, telling NBC News teens will get their nicotine fix in other ways, including products that aren't covered by this ban. Apple might be making its own foldable phone. The tech company filed a patent for a phone with a flexible display, which appears to be similar to the other foldable phones on the market. But Forbes says Apple's phone could fold without creases and may even use glass rather than plastic. It apparently has a hinge that would help make the phone stronger. For now, it's only a patent, so TBD if it actually becomes a new type of iPhone. Spotify made another big podcast-related purchase, this time in sports and pop culture. Spotify is buying The Ringer, a popular sports podcast network run by former ESPN personality Bill Simmons. It's home to about 30 podcasts as well as some other digital media. It's yet another big investment Spotify has made in the podcasting space. This time, it picked up one of the most popular brands. Spotify's CEO said he thinks it's the, quote, next ESPN, though critics aren't so sure. Either way, Spotify is already growing and hopes to keep up the momentum. CNET says the streaming service hit 124 million subscribers at the end of last year. The deal with The Ringer is expected to close before April. All right, that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we hope to help you better understand what the big deal is about Iowa and what happened there this week, as well as what to watch for as more Americans cast their votes in the coming months. I have two guests today, Beth Silvers and Sarah Stewart Holland, the hosts of the Pantsuit Politics podcast, where they have real conversations to better understand politics and democracy while still treating each other like thoughtful human beings. They also co-authored I Think You're Wrong, But I'm Listening. And this week, they were on the ground in Iowa and attended an Iowa caucus. So here's our conversation all about it. Hi, Beth and Sarah. Thanks so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So we've talked about this here on the Newsworthy before, but I just want to establish, what is a caucus? How is it different than a primary? And why does Iowa, which happened this week, matter?
Instead of going to a precinct to go into a secret ballot booth and cast your vote, you show up at a high school gym or cafeteria or elementary school or church basement and gather with the people who are in your precinct. And everyone goes physically to a location in the room to express their support for a candidate. And when they do that initially, it's called the first alignment. And after the first alignment, depending on how many people show up, a threshold is set at 15% to see who is viable. So if that first candidate that you have gone to in the room is viable, then you're locked in. You just stay there. If your candidate isn't viable, then you can go somewhere else in the room. And this is where it feels a little bit like Sarah and I were saying, like sorority rush. Everybody is trying to recruit. So it's kind of a crazy, raucous process, and it is really fun to be part of.
And what's the argument for a caucus over a primary?
Well, I think the argument for Iowa's caucus in particular is that it's basically ranked choice voting, which means you don't have to just take this winner take all mentality that I've got to pick the candidate that actually has a chance of winning. You can really assert some preferences, right? If you're supporting Andrew Yang, you don't have to say, well, I love this guy, but he's got no chance moving on, because there's a real chance, as there was at our caucus, that other candidates might need Andrew Yang supporters in order to reach viability. And then that becomes something that whoever adopted Andrew Yang supporters really has to consider, right? Okay, so if you're Pete Buttigieg and Andrew Yang supporters came over to you, you maybe are thinking, okay, well, they're not moderates because they didn't start with me, but they have moderate tendencies, but they really, really care about automation, or they really, really think the freedom dividend and some real big structural changes need to come our way. And I need to keep that in mind as I move forward, because I don't want to lose their support for next time.
So why does the Iowa caucus matter?
Well, that's a matter of lots of debate, right? It's always mattered in the sense that it's the first time citizens weigh in on the primary process. And so it is an opportunity to announce to the world who is getting grassroots support, who is firing up the people who are motivated and able to go to a caucus. You know, there are lots of criticisms of the format because it requires so much more of the people attending than just mailing in a ballot or showing up to vote in secret. So it is a pronouncement on who do we think can go successfully through the rest of this process. It is supposed to not tell us who the winner is going to be, but pare down the field. Hard to do when the field is as big as this one and when the results are as tight as these results are.
And speaking of the results, they were delayed this year and that got a lot of attention. There were some reported inconsistency with the results, maybe a problem with a new app. So what happened and what did it feel like on the ground, both while you were there and as you were waiting for a delay?
I think it felt like any all-volunteer events. It felt like, you know, from sorority rush to any other sort of high stakes event where you're trying to pick and volunteers are running it. You know, everybody felt a lot of pressure, but it's not particularly surprising that things, people got confused or it went off the rail. I mean, I think the biggest deal with this particular caucus is that they maybe tried to do too much too soon, right? I think they had big changes to the way they did alignment. They had changes to the math regarding viability, and they added the app. That's a lot to put on volunteers. all at once.
Yes. And I think no one is more critical about this than Iowans. You know, we experienced that people on the ground were devastated, that these results have been so delayed, that there are questions about their validity. They're really sad about the way this process rolled out this year. And I think that they do hold themselves accountable too. There should have been more practice runs. Maybe we shouldn't have done so many things at one time. Maybe there were better ways to have these results coming in. And I think we'll see adjustments. But one of the first things that we heard the morning after the caucuses, when we still didn't know the results, was a woman who said, you know, I don't think that we deserve to go first anymore. This has been really bad.
So I want to talk about the actual results for the Democratic Party. But before we do that, I know you swung by the Republican caucus because that did also go on. What was that like?
That was fascinating. I mean, they were done by 7:30. You had two Republican caucuses taking place in the middle school where we were. And both of them had several votes for candidates that weren't President Trump. You know, it wasn't a huge number. You had about 30 people or less in both sites, and you had about, you know, 3 to 10 people, depending on which site you're at, voting for either Bill Weld or Joe Walsh. One of the sites had several votes for Mitt Romney, which I thought was interesting. The other really interesting part is they were working on their party platform, and they were just taking sort of an open suggestion. They didn't have to come to consensus in the room. Just anybody could offer up suggestions for the Republican Party platform.
And just to be clear, I mean, nobody's really talking about that because everyone assumes that President Trump will be the Republican nominee.
Right.
All right. So let's talk about the results for the Democratic Party. Buttigieg came out on top, as far as we know right now. Do you think this actually gives us any clarity about the front runners?
What Iowa has done is take candidates like Pete Buttigieg, who've had less national name ID, and give them a boost that they need to compete on a larger stage. And so in that sense, I think the most significant thing coming out of this caucus is that Buttigieg is going to have a little bit more legitimacy going into New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina. Beyond that, I don't see any real clarity. I still see a very tight race in, you know, people have been breaking this race down into progressive and moderate lanes. And I think you have several viable progressive options and several viable moderate options, if you like that framing. And so these results might matter more to funders than anyone else. You know, where are donors going to throw their dollars to keep candidates going? But voters, I think, are still really open-minded.
Which, it's worth noting, there are a couple of candidates that weren't even involved in the Iowa caucuses, one being a billionaire.
I think that's very much worth noting. And we heard that in Iowa, too. Several people saying, you know, Mike Bloomberg is out there simmering under the surface and is not being paid enough attention to.
Final thoughts about what to watch as we go into the rest of the primary season.
New Hampshire is a very different process than Iowa, and so seeing what happens when people can only vote their first choice will give us very different information, I think, than what we got out of Iowa. And I would watch the fundraising numbers, because at some point, if voters remain so divided about this field, I do think that who's going to get the stamina in terms of big dollars behind their campaign to continue might end up being dispositive.
And you can get more from Beth and Sarah over on the Pantsuit Politics podcast. And as always, you can read more about all the news stories we talked about today at thenewsworthy.com in the episode section. Or sign up at the bottom of our homepage to get our daily or weekly news recaps and tips right in your inbox. Thank you so much for listening. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday. We'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.